Hey, let's give God praise together. Amen. How many adore the Lord Jesus? Come, let us adore him. I'm so grateful that that never ends. Amen. Every waking hour, we can adore the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful to be with you today. My name is Scott Turner. I serve here on the ministry team at Prestonwood, and it's a great honor to do so. I want to welcome you, along with Michael, those that are here and those that are worshiping online. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this morning, Pastor Graham preached a message on the motivation, the manifestation, and the mandate of giving in this time of giving, and I encourage you to go and listen and be blessed by this message. We're going to continue in our series, A Season of Giving. And today's message is titled, God the Giver. God the Giver. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. How many have memorized this at one time and another? John 3:16. John 3:16. When you get there, say amen so I know you're there. Now, we're going to put it on the screen. And I put this in the King James Version because I learned and memorized John 3:16. And I love the language. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this tremendous honor and privilege to stand, Father God, as a witness, as an advocate, as a preacher of the gospel. Lord, I humble myself before you. Have your way. God, thank you for all of those who are here in attendance and those who are watching online. And Father, in this brief moment that we have together, Father, we lay every care, every burden, Father God, every emotion, Father, everything that is weighing us down, Father, whatever it is, every circumstance in our life, we lay it at your altar right now. Holy Spirit, welcome. Have your way. Father, I pray that our ears will be open, that our hearts will be attentive to see what you're saying, to hear what you're doing, Father, in our midst. And Father God, may we receive your word with joy. And Father God, may we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And when we leave out here, Father, help us to be witnesses of your kingdom, your power, your glory, and Father, the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is one of the, or if not the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, as it should be. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 has been raised up on banners in sporting events. It's been shown at rallies and marches. It has been printed on t-shirts. It's been used as our black, if you will, on the face of our dear friend Tim Tebow in the national championship. And I learned that when Tim put this on his face, there were 93 million people that Googled John 3:16. It's been widely spread. Amen. The more people that could see the word of God, the better. When we look at this passage, it says that God so loved the world. And Dr. Graham made a great point this morning. He said, this is God's open invitation to all of the world. It's an open invite. God so loved us so much that he gave us an invitation to accept and to believe his Son. God gave us his one and only, his begotten Son. Let's look when it says God gave. To give means to freely transfer the possession of something or someone, to freely transfer the possession of something or someone. God freely gave us his son Jesus. You and I, we didn't do anything to deserve it. It cost us nothing, but it cost him everything. It cost you and I nothing, but it cost God everything. God gave his son Jesus so that we might believe in him and have eternal life. In this Christmas season, in this time of giving, I want us together to grasp the weight and the extraordinary nature of what God our Father actually did for us. The Bible says that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Begotten means the one and only. God gave you and I his one and only Son, his number one Son, his only Son, not his weak Son, not his third Son, his only Son. His most amazing, unique, never to be another like, awesome Son. Are you with me this morning? And it's amazing knowing the truth of the gospel. You would think that everyone, having heard and known and believed in this gospel, that when we know that God gave us so much, his best, his only son, that everyone would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How many know we still have work to do? Why did God give us Jesus? Because we were born into sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Make no doubt about it, you and I, we were all born into sin. And without Jesus' death on the cross, without him laying down his perfect sinless life for you and I, sinners separated from God, we would not have the opportunity for forgiveness of sins and life for eternity in heaven. Is that clear to all of the church this morning? That's why he sent his son Jesus. Jesus paid the price for your sins and for mine. He shed his blood, his precious blood, on Calvary's cross, so that, according to John 3:16, we who believe may not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. What a great promise. See, our sins separated us from God. But God, in all of his mercy, he bridged the gap that separated us from him by giving us his best. He gave us his all. He gave us his everything. He gave us Jesus. Freely gave us the greatest gift of all. Do you know Jesus for yourself? Those that are in the church this morning, those that are watching online, can you most assuredly say that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior? That you've turned away from sin and turned to him and invited him into your life? Church, this is what really matters. John 3:16 is most assuredly a salvation verse, a salvation in Christ. It is indeed the gospel and the good news of Jesus, but it also is the greatest stewardship verse in all of the scripture. Why do I say a stewardship? Well, let's define stewardship. Webster's 1828 says this: stewardship is the conducting, the supervising, or the managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. The responsible, careful management of something entrusted to one's care. This is stewardship. God the Father took what was most precious to him, that his only begotten son who was entrusted to his care. And what did he do? He gave him for the reconciliation, for the salvation, and for the deliverance of all mankind. He stewarded over his only begotten son by giving him to you and I and to the whole world. Why? For the salvation of our souls. Is everybody with me? When Jesus came to earth by way of a virgin mother empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, he too gave that which was entrusted to him, his life, his very life. He gave it. He emptied himself. Look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But instead, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus gave by emptying himself. The question is this morning, how are we stewarding over that which has been entrusted to us? Our time, our talent, and in particularly our treasure. And from the outset, I want to make sure that we all understand that every gift, every talent, time, every resource that we have is from God. There is no such thing as a made man. There is no such thing as a made woman. The Bible says, John in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good and perfect gift is from where? It's from the Lord. It's all from him, and it all belongs to him. I'm going to say that one more time. It is all from him. And it all belongs to him. I saw a license plate this morning, and it said, all his. It was a cool car, too. And the license plate said, all his. Amen. The greatest way to steward over what God has so graciously given to you and I is to give. The greatest way for us to steward over what God has given us is to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And I was looking at this in verse 8, and it says, and God is able. Somebody say, God is able to make all grace abound to you and I, so that having all sufficiency, all things at all times. Do y'all see any gap in here? What does all mean? All. And God is able. In other words, to give you everything you need any time of the day for the rest of your life, all of your life. Why? Because God's grace is indeed sufficient for you and I. Y'all, that's what the word says. Do you believe him? The question is, your heart set on giving what God has blessed you with? Is your mind made up to give what God has given you? Are you a cheerful giver? Or are you still reluctant to give what God has given you? It is my hope and prayer that when we leave this place this morning, that we will have 100% of cheerful givers. I want to emphasize and discuss giving our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I want to emphasize this in the best way I know how, using the Word of God and a personal testimony. When the Lord gave me the opportunity to steward over my time, my talent, and my treasure in a very unique way during a very challenging season in my life. Is that all right? The year was 2001. I was going into my seventh year in the National Football League. I was a free agent. That means I did not have a signed contract with any of the 32 NFL teams. How many know that's not a good place to be in? And as a reminder to some of you and new information for others, you only need one team out of 32 to sign you, just one. It seems pretty simple. There's a lot of teams, there's 32, just pick one. I wish it was that easy. As I was waiting on the team, and particularly the team that I just finished the season with, that was the team formerly known as the San Diego Chargers. I still have heartburn over that, but anyway. I played for the Chargers at this time. I was waiting on them to call me. They had my number. There was no mistakes. It was listed. I saw it. I was waiting on them to call me, Dr. Graham, to tell me they need my services. I just had a good season with y'all, so you would think, hey, call me. I'm here. I live like an 8-iron away from the facility. You don't even have to buy my ticket. Well, while I was waiting on them, I was training. And I was working. How many know that faith without works is dead? See, sometimes we wait and do nothing. Don't expect God to move on your behalf if you're just waiting. That's not in my notes, but that's on my heart. Don't expect God just to move if you're just sitting on the couch waiting for him to do something. The question is, what are you doing? I know that doesn't feel good. But it's true. Faith without action is dead. While I was waiting, I was training twice a day there in San Diego, California. I was staying ready for the call. The entire spring, the entire summer, and the first 12 weeks of the new football season came and went with no call. Not one. Have y'all ever been in a situation when you have more money going out than you do coming in? Raise a hand if you like that situation. Well, that's where we were at this time. See, in the NFL, you get paid during the season for 17 weeks. And then in the offseason, you live off of that which you made and saved. Which is fine. Only if you get to start up getting paid again the following season. But that wasn't what God had in store for the Turner family in 2001. Now, before y'all start looking at me sideways, I know you said you played in the NFL. What's the big deal? This was almost 28 years ago. I was a seventh round draft pick. The last round in the draft. I was the 18th pick in the last round of the draft. Are y'all with me? How many know I was on the bubble for 9 years? I'm not Patrick Mahomes, to say it more plainly. But during this time, I learned the sovereignty of God. How many know that God's ways are higher than our ways? During this time of waiting to get signed, I was staying ready to go. And there were three young men, two who were also free agent football players and one who was our trainer. They were also part of the church that Robin and I served in San Diego. These men were all newly married, young in the NFL, young in their career. They were babies in their faith. I was indeed the veteran by a long shot. And I had the cadence down. I understood what it meant to be married, what it meant to be a professional athlete serving in the church and serving in the community. They were just starting out. They were green. They were new. And God had me there with these three young men. They had a lot of questions. We spent a lot of time after the workouts. We worked out 4 to 5, sometimes 6 days a week just talking about life family, struggles, stewardship, faith, football, our wives, a myriad of subjects, day in and day out. We would start at 6:30, end at 8:30, and sometimes I wouldn't get home till 11 or 12 o'clock by sitting on the grass, sitting on the sand, sitting on a picnic table, listening and sharing and praying and crying and pouring into these young men. It took a lot of my own personal time and energy. But it was in those moments that I began to recognize the hand of God and what He was teaching me, what He was doing in me and around me, allowing me to learn through the heartache and the struggle of not being on the team, of not playing in the games that I love, and not being with my teammates running up and down the field. But what God was doing, church, was so much greater. He was teaching me to die to myself and live unto Him, to fully trust Him, to give of myself, to give of my time, that which He gave me to those three young men. Daniel 2:21 says this, that God is the one who changes the times and the seasons. God does. He's in control of the times and the seasons of your life. During this time, the Lord, if you will, He reset my focus. He took me out of the game so that I could give my undivided attention and the most valuable commodity that I had, my time, first to Him and then to the people and the things that God cared about. Ask yourself, does God have your undivided attention? Are you giving yourself and your time to the things and the people that God cares about? Today, two out of the three of these young men are faithful men of God. They have eight children between them. They love their wives. They're thriving in their ministry and careers. And most importantly, they love Jesus. How many know that made it worth it? But this was God's doing, not mine. It was God's sovereignty, not mine. God just allowed me to be a vessel through which He could do work. And today I still walk with these men. I've learned that the thing that we as humans are most selfish with is our time. And I want to encourage you to trust God, obey God, and give of your time to build His church, to pour into His people, and to be a blessing in your generation. You never know how God will use you if you're obedient and generous with your time. Remember, God gave it to you. He changes the times and the seasons. Be generous with your time and build the church. What about our talent and our gifts? Are we being faithful stewards of our gifts and talents that God has given us? And you say, well, Pastor Scott, I don't really have any talent. Has anybody ever felt like that before? You don't have to raise your hand. I heard somebody tell me one time, well, you got all the talent, I don't have any. Well, if that were true, then the Bible would not be true. And we know that the Bible is true. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Do y'all see that? Everybody has received a gift from the Lord. Now use it as a good steward of God's varied grace to serve one another. And somebody say, well, what are the gifts? Well, here's a few of them: preaching, teaching, prophesying, a gift of faith, healing, hospitality, intercession, which is praying for people, evangelism, which is leading people to Christ. Some may have an administrative gift. Are y'all with me? You don't have to stand on the pulpit to say you have a gift. Sometimes you may want to open up your house and cook for someone. Some of you are good with details and administrative. Some of you are good for standing in the midnight hour praying and interceding and standing in the gap for others. Those are the gifts that God and God alone has given you. The question is, are you stewarding over them? Are you using them to build his church and to build his kingdom? During this offseason in 2001, while I was waiting to get signed, my wife, Robin, was waiting alongside of me and praying and interceding. And God provided me the opportunity to serve the body of Christ, to serve the team along with Robin and utilize the gifts that he has given us. Robin and I would be hosts. Teams of Bible studies in our house for the church and for the team, for the coaches and for the players in our home in San Diego for several years. And we continued to do it even though I wasn't a part of the team. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. That was not always easy. In full transparency, it was not easy seeing men on the team come to my home, eat the food my wife cooked, go back to the locker room, play in the game, and I'm still at home. They would come to our house every week for Bible study. I was waiting on the Lord to open the door to get me back on the team since March. And now here we are in September, the beginning of the season. The games are going and the flesh, the world, and the devil would tell Robin and I, man, you don't need to open your home. You don't need to have Bible study. You're not even on a team. You're not getting paid. They don't care what you say. You're not a part of the community. But I thank God for his word, his inerrant, flawless, perfect word and the power of the Holy Spirit, which I was in and day out. And the Holy Spirit of God says, son, open your house. Use the gifts that I have given you to preach, to teach, to pray, to intercede, to give of yourself, to be a blessing to these men and their families and the church, and I will open the door for you. He said, you may not be on the team right now. You may not be in the locker room right now, but you're on my team, the only team that matters. And what team is that? The team that teaches and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, to build and to glorify him and build his kingdom. Come on, y'all. The Lord would encourage me to utilize these gifts and talents and give of myself and pour myself into the lives of these men and trust in the sovereignty of God. Do you trust that God is sovereign? Are you willing to use your gifts and talents to build his people and build his kingdom? And you know what? I dare you to do it and see, won't God show up mightily on your behalf? Be a faithful steward over the gifts that God has given you. Even when you're not doing what you think you should be doing or where you think you should be, remember again, God changes the times and the season. You might not be fulfilling what you think you should be right now, but will you be a faithful steward? It might not look like you want it to look, but will you steward well of your time and your talent and give unto the kingdom? Be careful not to just sit on your talent or bury your talent. Be careful not to compare your talent to the talents of others. During this time, I mentioned that from an income standpoint, we were not being paid. I would do a couple speaking engagements here and there, but most of them were for free, praise the Lord. It was a greater test of my faith. Treasure chest was getting smaller and smaller by the day. Anybody been there before? But God said to be faithful. Up until that point, Robin and I have been faithful supporters of the church, community, student missionaries, family, supporting our families. And don't you know, just because I'm not in the NFL, that those things continue? And the Lord said, be faithful. The missionaries were our monthly commitment. Family members still needed daily and monthly support. Football players still needed to hear the word of God, and the mission of the church had to continue to preach the gospel, to save the lost, to disciple the followers. And y'all, the only way that the church can continue to do this is that if you and I are great stewards of our time, our talents, and our treasure to build the kingdom, to be faithful with the resources that God has given us. As we give to the church, as we give to the missions, as we give to the ministry, the church is then able to go out into all of the world, both locally and globally, to preach the gospel, to save the lost, to disciple followers, and to send them out. Are you with me? It requires all of us to be faithful, to walk by faith. We have to trust God that he is indeed Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. We have to trust him that he will keep his promise and never leave us nor forsake us. We have to trust God that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing we don't have room enough to receive. We have to trust God Almighty, Yahweh, the great, eternal, unchangeable God, that he says in Philippians 4:19 that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We have to trust him and we have to obey him. It's not a blind trust. I'm talking about trusting the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth, the omnipotent, all-powerful God. The God who says that if you draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. The same God who said in Matthew chapter 17, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you can say that this mountain be moved from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That God. And God knows that we needed a mountain to move in 2001. And indeed it did. By God's grace and favor, the San Diego Chargers, Coach Mike Riley, late one Tuesday night in the 13th week of the season, called and signed me back. I asked him what happened. He said, we just need you. There's only 53 men on the team. I said, who got hurt? He said, no one. I said, well, how are you signing me back? He said, there's a hole spiritually in the locker room. We need you. Can you come see me? Don't you know that God will make a way out of no way? Amen. Amen. Some of you may find yourself in a tough situation right now. Let me encourage you. When you stay faithful, you're closer than you think you are. Don't believe the lies of the enemy or the lies of the flesh. Believe the God of the Bible. Why would we believe in a God that is far from us? We serve a God that is near. His ear is not dull. His arm is not too short. Do you trust him? The God we serve is the greatest giver of all. He not only gave me my career back, but most importantly, he gave me Jesus, the greatest gift of all. And I received him in March of 1984, and my life has never been the same. As this church, Prestonwood Baptist Church, we are called to follow and to obey the command and the will of God, and that is to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, to disciple the followers of Christ, and to send them out. And I have found the greatest investment that you and I can make is in the kingdom of God. The return on investment is not dependent on the stock market, inflation, or the opinion or expertise of man. When we give our time, our talent, and our treasure, when we invest in God's body, in his church, when we invest in the kingdom of God, the return is eternal. As I started, I will finish this message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus for yourself today? Amen? Let's all stand together for our invitation. The salvation of Christ is what truly matters here this morning. I said in the beginning to take inventory, to ask yourself if you most assuredly could say and have a conviction that you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and I, to shed his precious blood so that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life with him. But y'all, guess what? We get to live with him right now in the fullness of his glory, in all of his grace. How are you living today? Are you walking with Christ, or are you just walking? Are you living under the submission and full surrender to Jesus, or you're just living? And you may say, well, Pastor Scott, I'm going through so much right now. That's all right. Come to Jesus. Does that mean that it's going to be easy? No, but it means that you're not walking by yourself, but the Savior of the world is walking with you. Do you know him? The invitation is here. The altar is open. For God so loved you that he gave you his only son, that if you just believe in him, accept him, repent and turn away from your sin, that you have everlasting life in the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. Our pastors are going to be here. We're going to pray together. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, let's pray. Let's all pray together. Pray this prayer in your heart. Father, I thank you for your son Jesus, who died on the cross for my sin. I turn away from the sin in my life, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. I accept you. I receive you. Have your way in me, Jesus. Be the master of my life. I turn it over. I give it all to you. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a part of the family of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.